Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Finesse Mitchell, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, reminding all the Mountain Dew, Veggie Pizza, and DJ Khaled fans that voting day is tomorrow. It's not today. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the show. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Will you shut up? Will you please shut up? Please. Let's see. So much to get into today.
Why do you look so fancy?
Oh, I went and did Rich Eisen's show.
Oh.
Boy, do I love that Rich Eisen. This half of the show brought to you by Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/M. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/M. Castrol Edge, titanium strong for maximum engine performance.
You talk too much.
One of the good guys in sports and Hollywood and everything else is just Rich Eisen. I mean, there are, you know, good, bad, and sort of in between. And Rich Eisen is just a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
So always fun doing his show. Of course, he's out in El Segundo. He's kind of somewhere between LAX and SpaceX. And I just sat on the freeway on the way home in the middle of traffic on the 405, just bummed out. And it always hits home during the election time because it's never any – it's not on anyone's – list of things to do. Just the one thing that really equally sort of affects and fucks up everybody in this city and in all cities. I mean, all cities should be making a super concerted effort on traffic because it's so all encompassing. Like, hey, don't like pollution? Good. Work on traffic. Hey, don't like lost productivity?
Yep.
Good. Work on traffic. Hey, don't like the poor people who have to commute from job to place, especially out here. So out here, if you would like to own a home and you work in Westwood, you may buy a home in Valencia, but you're not buying a home in Westwood. It's way too expensive. So we have people here who sort of say, I can be an apartment dweller on the west side for the rest of my life, or I could be a homeowner, but I have to move to the top of that Space Needle and at Magic Mountain, essentially. So we famously have people who are way the fuck out of town, and then they just sit in traffic all the way in and all the way back.
The jobs are in Century City, or they're in West,
yeah,
or they're in
Santa downtown
Monica.
LA, or whatever. So it'd be nice.
Do you think that the government said, hey, man, we did transponders. What else do you want from us? Was that supposed to be the big solution? The transponder boxes. You know, the little boxes you could get that put you in the extra special lane.
Oh, like fast track type thing?
Yeah, that I had going to and from South Bay.
I rode it on the way. I took it on the way out to go to Rich's show from my house. All I could think of is there's two or three lanes that are empty because the government is charging money for you to use those lanes, and the other three to the right are full up. Mm-hmm. It's exacerbated the things, but it's also... I find it to be a bit of a slap in the face because my feeling with all that stuff is we're already paying for the roads. Mm-hmm. We're already paying the most in gas tax. We're already paying for the roads. We're already this and that and the other. You're saying we need to pay an extra premium if we don't? How about you just get roads that work and then we wouldn't have to buy a premium?
But those lanes are free, quote unquote. They come out of your paycheck.
Right.
Right. All right. So I have some stuff. I'm trying to figure out what order I want to get to. First off, speaking of LA and speaking of LA schools, somebody tweeted me like a full teacher student throwdown.
Yeah.
And I mean, swinging for the fences.
It wasn't a fair fight.
I got to say, I would hire the 14-year-old who went up against this dude because this dude was throwing haymakers and the 14-year-old was countering, which I enjoyed it. It was an LA school. It's like called an alternative school. It was in music class, which is crazy that it was a music teacher who was throwing down with the student.
And I say Chet Baker was the best for
right. No.
And I Miles Davis.
So it's
you can see where it
to me
there.
The intent is always the weird part, like the part. I get the part where you're trying to stave somebody off or get them away from you or whatever. The part where you're throwing haymakers, like. Look, 214-pound teacher guy who's throwing haymakers, you should pray none of those ever connect. Because if one of those connects on that 14-year-old who's 123 pounds and that kid goes down hard and his head just smacks against the concrete floor and is a vegetative state for the rest of his life, you're going to be in prison. Like, thank God none of you are huge, but why are you punching... Why are you throwing those kind of punches?
Do you know the backstory? I
have no idea. There was an argument.
Yeah, all we know is he was getting kicked out of class for not wearing the right uniform, and shit went down. We don't know what happened to this guy before he got to work that day.
Now, now the part of the story that I enjoy the most is it was not... So somebody tweeted me the news story. So it was the first 30 seconds were the actual fight, but then... They do what they have to do, which is they have to talk to people who are there. I'm not sure who I need to know less from. The neighbor who, when they always talk to the neighbor after the house caught on fire, and then the guy comes up. First things first, it scares me because you get a real summer sausage sampling of how dumb regular people are because you're used to seeing like spokespeople and people that are put together.
The prepared statements.
But just go get neighbors and put mics in front of them and they're like, what happened with the house fire? Man, I came outside and the house was on fire. Right.
Uh-huh.
Were you frightened? Well, you know, you don't expect to wake. Let me tell you what you don't expect. Right. You don't expect to come out and have the house on fire. Like, yeah, I guess you wouldn't, right?
The interviewers always ask really good leading questions. You're like, were you surprised to see flames next door?
Right. It's always, all right, so the last 10 seconds is the teacher and the student thrown down, but then the reporter went outside and talked to moms that were pulling up, and it's the best.
And then you could, of course, see this very intense fist fight unfolding. We talked to parents here. They are absolutely stunned by this video.
I'm shocked. But why did it have to escalate to this point, though? I'm shocked.
As a mom, I can't. I send my kids for school to learn not to hit.
Hold on, let me write this
the
down.
Hot take?
That's not their fault. They have a mic shoved in their face. What do you think about this thing that happened you have no witness to?
I know. It's the news's fault. We don't need this commentary of people that weren't. Are there any more folks who weren't in the classroom and this went down?
I just saw 20 eyewitnesses, and yet we're talking to the moms.
I always love it when they explain what they weren't looking for. Like, I go into a Chipotle to eat Mexican food, not be attacked by homeless people. Like, I love when they explain why. When you go into a movie theater, you
should be entertained, laugh a little bit, cry perhaps.
But I'm not here to be choked out by the strap of a purse from a drunken person sitting behind me. Like, I love when they explain
the purpose of them going to this
the
place.
The purpose of the thing. Yes, you drop your kids off at school for what? What? To learn Taekwondo? What? What again? To have their orbital socket crushed? What? What is it again? We learn. I love when they break it down to its just most basic elements. Yeah. Where they go, I drop my kid off to learn.
Sure.
Not to punch. Yeah, I got to hear her
one
more time.
Differ.
That's again. It's the news's fault because they should never air it. They should just air it. They just go. If you have someone who was there. Mm-hmm.
By all means.
If there's someone, if you can grab, like, the custodian who was in the classroom and he gets to do a thing where, like, I heard a kerfuffle, so I came down the, although LA Unified Custodian would never use the word kerfuffle. Mishigosh.
Yep.
Anyway, I came down the hall, I opened the door, and they were throwing punches. Like, give me a little round by round. Yeah. All right, let me hear it one more time, sorry.
As a mom, I can't. I send my kids for school to learn not to hit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. As a mom, I'm going to start every sentence with as a mom. So they were throwing down, I guess, the teacher. It's lose-lose for the teacher because you, A, are going to get into trouble for trying to kill a student. But then, B, you couldn't take out a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
And you were throwing.
Reflection on your skills.
You were throwing down big time, and that kid was countering. I'm a fan of that kid. And that kid was, like, wearing a backpack, too, which will slow down the fast muscle movement.
Indeed.
All right. So the teacher has a GoFundMe support page?
How's that work?
Over $39,000 as we record this raise.
Let's donate to that.
What? Why? How's that work?
For his copay for therapy?
There's a big banner at the top that say teachers deserve respect. They're saying that the kid threw a bunch of racial slurs at him and started the fight. And they like this teacher, I guess.
Apparently, the kid tossed around the N-word quite a bit.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then it's okay to throw haymakers.
I'm going to need some audio.
Here's the thing, as a teacher, regardless of whatever the kid says, ever, anytime, in any direction, it's never okay to just start throwing.
Are you saying there's a zero tolerance policy towards swinging children?
I have a zero tolerance for physically swinging. And I remember that was my favorite part of being in junior high. See, you know, it's kind of a weird sweet spot. Turn your mic down in there, Dawson. Something's going on. All right. There you go.
Somebody's talking.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There's a sweet spot of throwdown with students, I now have realized. When I was in grade school, Mr. Backus and others never threw down with anyone because it was K through sixth grade. You couldn't.
Not a fair fight.
A bunch of scrawny.
It wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
Right. When I got to high school, the dudes, at least I hung out with, and a lot of the guys were pretty menacing. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to throw down with 17-year-old Ray Oldhoffer or 15-year-old Chris Bohm. Those guys were assassins. All the real throwing down took place in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade when Mr. Hensley and Mr. Saponzi and Mr. Tompkins were, like, medium-sized dudes. But the dudes they were throwing down with, they were still had 40 pounds on them. But
between 11 and 13.
Right. So they were, I did see guys, you know, get guys in headlocks and yank them around. And it was okay for school teachers. Like Mr. Hensley would just grab people in headlocks. And
was it to pull them apart in a fight or just yank them out of their chair?
No, it was to pull their head off of their shoulders.
Yeah. Right. But what would instigate that?
A look?
No, I remember very clearly. It was very very clear. One, very clear. Two, very clearly. It was pouring rain, probably the 2 days out of the year where it would rain. It was pouring rain. And was just like teeming, and we're all sort of standing under the open, in the, you know, the roof awning, whatever, the quad thing where people cafeteria, but it was all, it wasn't walled off, just had the roof. And we're all just standing there kind of like staring at the softball field getting pelted with rain and turning muddy or something. And a guy named Mike had like his milk carton or something, and I think he tried to throw it like in a trash can that was out in the rain, and he like tried to hit a three-pointer or something, and he missed. And Mr. Hensley like looked at him and went like, "Hey Reese, pick up that, you know, throw away that milk carton." And Mike like looked at Hensley like, yeah, like he gave him like, "Come on, it's pouring." Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not going out there. And Mr. Hensley was on him, man. Wow. I mean, full headlock. Like he'd throw down with dudes all the time. All the PE teachers would. And then also Mr. Tompkins, I remember once a kid saying, like getting mad, like he sent him down to the office and he like said, like, "You go down, talk to your counselor." And the kid got up and they, like the kid like stormed out of the class. And when he stormed out, he went like, "Sometimes," the kid went, "I wish I could just kick your ass or something." And he like stormed down the hall, and Mr. Tompkins was sitting there. The whole class was in front of him, sprung to his feet. Ran out into an empty hall, like it was like what the hall was during, you know, when classes had, the entire class is, his entire class is just sitting in his, in their chairs, and he yells, "You want to fight? That's my middle name!" Like he screams, like he's screaming at this guy going down the hall, like, "Come on, bring it on."
Confusing but effective.
Yeah, that was his middle name.
Wow.
So there was, so it's always kind of been around.
Okay.
Yeah. But not so much the throwing down.
This looked like he snapped. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't like, you there, know, you, here comes the paddle.
There may have been a history.
Yeah.
There may have been a previous incident, a run in.
Well, he's already made $40,000, so apparently people like this teacher.
No, when you watch the footage, he's throwing haymakers. Yeah. And also it's not a like, "Oh my God, I've come to my senses." It's like he's throwing haymakers and he's following the kid around throwing haymakers. And the kid throws a couple of good counters in there.
Give him credit.
Kid reminds me of a young me when I was 14-year-old. Scrappy
exchanging blows with teachers.
All right. And it usually, again, it stops in high school because the guys who are willing to fight in high school are grown-up men now, and they will cause some damage to a 6-year-old teacher.
Yeah.
All right. I have things. Oh, look at the Pete Davidson SNL thing. Let's see. All right. Dan Crenshaw was on Take a Knee at the beginning of this year. Yes. Is a from Texas?
He's running for a House in Texas, Republican.
So he did my podcast, Take a Knee, earlier in the year. And you can get that at the Podcast One Archives if you like. But I like, I saw a clip, somebody tweeted me a clip of him on TMZ sort of responding to the Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson made a joke on SNL about, you know, his patch and a sort of porn detective or something like that.
Hitman.
We'll play Pete Davidson's thing. All right. Look, I like, well, hold on. I don't like or dislike Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson's one of these guys where I'm not sure why he's a cast member on SNL. Like, everyone else is so full of voices and talent and whatever, and he's just kind of
him.
I'm me and I'm a mess. And then this whole Ariana Grande thing catapulted him up into whatever. But in a world with so many talented people who do so many great characters and impersonations and like bring so much to the table, just, I don't know, troubled 24-year-old seems to be who he is. And dyeing your hair and being uncomfortable in your own skin is not, I want to hear some impersonations. Yeah. I want to hear you knock it out of the park with this political guy or that newsworthy
or
person.
Or create a character.
Or create a character. Like, do something. I'm not sure why he's even around there. I don't know him, and I don't even dislike him, but in the pantheon of great, you know, greats with your Dana Carveys and your Phil Hartmans and all those kind of things, I don't know what Pete Davidson is doing.
Doesn't appear to be playing the same sport,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, doesn't fit in with that archetype.
Here's a bad sign, whether you're playing sports or you're on SNL. If I showed 10 people 10 episodes of SNL and I said, guess which one of these cast members is the grandson of Lorne Michaels? Yeah. Now, I could probably get out Keenan, but I love Keenan anyway. If all of them would say Pete Davidson, yeah, then that's not a good...
Yeah.
It should be spread out. But anyway, so he did this joke, and we'll just play the joke from SNL.
This guy's kind of cool, Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on, man.
Yo,
hold on.
You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. Whatever. Yeah.
All right, so that was him, and I guess he got some flack for it. And then somebody tweeted me Dan's response on TMZ, and then I was reminded that he was on Take a Knee. So here's his response.
I want us to get away from this culture where we demand apologies every time someone misspeaks. I think that would be very healthy for our nation to go in that direction. You know, we don't need to be outwardly outraged. I don't need to demand apologies from them. They can do whatever they want. You know, it's they're feeling the heat from around the country right now, and that's fine.
Okay, yeah, good.
That's a good response.
Yeah, everybody, just
response.
Move on.
Did you hear the National Republican Congressional Committee's response, which
I'm sure was just as measured.
I liked it because, you know, those are kind of the boring, stodgy conservative dudes, but they went for it. They said getting dumped by your pop star girlfriend is no excuse for lashing out at a decorated war hero who lost his eyes serving our country.
Ariana Grande. Fired. By the way, what are the chances? Like, if you went to the RNC and you went like, it is RNC, it's a Republican National.
It's the Congressional
RNC
Committee.
RNC,
whatever,
yeah.
Whatever. If you went there and you went Ariana Grande, they'd go, oh, that was that Canyon Evil Knievel tried to jump on his jet cycle, right?
No. Junior congressman from New Mexico?
No. Like, how many people? How many of those guys even knew who Ariana Grande?
Few.
A couple of daughters, they might recognize the name.
That's when you get sausage, pepperoni, and meatballs on your pizza? No? No. It's a way of doing, when they do the burrito and they put the wet sauce on it and then they melt
the
cheese.
It's all drippy and you use a spoon.
Well, they went for it. Good for them. And good for Dan, who just said, moving on.
Yep.
It'd be it's a better place to live.
It's a shining example.
But also, I realized that's also the mentality of a guy who's been to war.
Yeah.
Like, that's a guy who understands. I think his interpreter was blown up by an improvised explosive, whatever, and his eye got taken out. Jesus. I think his interpreter got taken out completely. So he understands what real attack is.
Yeah.
Like, this notion, I felt threatened. I was attacked. No, you had your guy who was in your interpreter or your guide or your whatever killed in front of you, and you had your eye taken out, and God knows what. That's a real attack. Feeling threatened because of the words that somebody chose is nothing. And I don't know, Max Pat, if we have it or what the story was. Was it his interpreter that was taken out? Now your mic is sort of gone.
His
gone
interpreter
a little
stepped on an IED. Ugh. And then he got hit from that.
Jesus.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I've said that 8 times. Okay. So is his interpreter killed and he was hit from that?
Let me find out.
Okay.
It would stand to reason.
It would stand to reason, but sometimes guys get their legs blown off or whatever it is.
Okay.
He's dead. Yes?
Yes. Interpreter was killed.
Okay. All right. Well, those are real problems. And feeling threatened is not. But stepping on bombs is. So I felt like this guy came from a place in a world where he'd seen much worse than Pete Davidson making jokes on SNL.
Priority.
And I'm sure his interpreter wishes that he was still alive and the butt of a few more verbal jokes.
And to slice the pie even thinner, it's not just threatened by words, it's threatened by a joke. And he understands the difference between, it wasn't a great joke, it wasn't even a good joke, it was a tasteless joke, but it was intended to make people laugh, didn't work, moving on.
Also, Pete does the thing, too, where he cracks himself up in the middle of his delivery, which I always...
Jimmy Fallon ruined SNL.
That was his vibe. That was what Jimmy started.
Well, Jimmy would break in scenes.
All the time.
Constant. All the time, which I don't like. But it's even worse when you're doing the joke alone. Mm-hmm. You know what
Not
I mean?
Like
it's one thing. There are some moments that you just couldn't hold it together when the prop is going bad or the person is just going just over the top funny.
I gotta have more cowbell.
But when you're delivering your own material, you shouldn't be cracking yourself up while delivering your own material.
It's distracting.
All right. Dan has a degree from Harvard International Relations and Foreign Policy.
That rube.
He's an interesting dude. All right. No one is on Take a Knee. I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Here's why I'm a big fan of Simply Safe Home Security. It's prepared for everything if a storm takes out your power. Your phone line gets cut, keypad gets destroyed. Simply Safe is ready. They'll get you the help you need. Maybe you don't need to be ready for the worst case scenario, but Simply Safe is great, and it's always ready. And it's just $14.99 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees. Peel and stick, up and running in no time. I recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. The batteries last up to 10 years. No drilling holes, no crawling around, no pulling wires. Go online, order all the components that you need for whatever your needs are in your home or apartment. And when you move, just peel it off and take it with you. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Let them know I sent you. Two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. There's some breaking news in the Discovery commercial saga where the person who calls and the operator look exactly the same.
Well, yeah, supposed to be. Yeah, okay.
The cousins, the
twins,
the same.
We can never figure out if they're exactly. And then at some point we decided they were the same person, but we're always confused because why are they doing it? Yes.
The proof is they're supposed to be. They were originally supposed to be the same person because the original tagline was, "We treat you like you treat you." So it's supposed to be the same person. Like, but you call, you're going to get the person who treats you like you would treat you.
Right. But didn't it evolve into, like, Stacy? Pam?
The first one was, they fumbled out of the gate on the opening kickoff. They fumbled because it was like, oh, it's like their sister. It's like,
exactly.
Stacy? Kim?
Yeah. So Max Zapata did some serious gum shoeing, which is much better than cum shirting. Gum shoeing means you go out and hit the streets and you go to your sources.
Pound that pavement.
And you pound that pavement. Cum shirting. Uh-huh. It has nothing to do with this. So I'll explain
show.
That later
Save
on
it
when it's more in context.
Good sports.
But he did the gum shoeing.
This time.
Right. So what did you find out, Max Zapata?
Every single one of those commercials is two different actors. They purposely get them to look alike.
What?
Dumbest thing I've
that
ever
is completely
heard.
True. Like here, put up. You can watch this.
Show
commercial.
Me the commercial. The good news is I've watched the Discovery commercials 133 times now. I mean, it's been effective that way because I'm always trying to figure it out. And he has done. Max Zapata has figured out that in these commercials, the guy who makes the call is not the same person who picks it up. It's not the same actor. Sorry, he can play.
You can do this. Here we go. Discover.
It looks
I like your card. I love all the cashback and security features, but I'm not going to pay an annual fee. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Discover has no annual fee on any of our cards.
So it wasn't my tough guy act.
No. We just don't have any annual
fees. They look exactly the same.
What's happening?
I don't know why. I don't know why. Not since the McDonald's commercial with breakfast all day where the redhead pulled up next to her doppelganger. he has pulled the guys. He's IMDb'd everyone. He's figured out all the names. But I want to know why. I mean, we'll get Christy in here
we
and
should,
figure it
because
out.
Because she can speak to, imagine, this campaign has been on for years. We've all seen these many, many iterations.
Yeah. Years,
imagine
right.
investing that much money, millions of dollars into production, the airtime, all this stuff, and fumbling and just getting it wrong.
Over and over.
But sticking to it, exactly. Yeah. Like, well, we're this far down the road.
Keep
the sunk cost fallacy. This far down.
I have been involved with such campaigns. When Loveline was going to be a syndicated late night television show back when there were syndicated late night, I guess like Arsenio or whatever. Those were like, you know, there was the Tonight Show and there was the Letterman Show and then there was Arsenio. Well, that's That's what Loveline was going to be. And it was cleared in like 98% of the country and blah, blah, blah. And famously, when we went to Chicago and we went to go to the local affiliate with all different affiliates all over the place. We had to make the rounds and go to all different affiliates. And they just launched that. It's the WWWWWB. And we'd be like sitting in our makeup chairs. And, you know, Drew, who's always all in, he's such a puss. Like, Drew is like, it's the double double. No, no. Dubba. Oh. Dubba, dubba. Oh. Dubba, 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 dubba. No, no. It's the dubba, dubba. We need you guys to stand in front of this brick facade because it's 1997 and a half. Yeah. Everything had to be done in front of a brick facade. And then you need to put your bomber jacket on because it's 1997. You have to wear a bomber jacket. And then you guys turn and go, it's the dubba, 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 WB. And we're getting everybody in the WB galaxy of stars to do this new campaign. And I was like, I do what I always do, and Drew will tell you. I would sit there and go, this is never going to work. Drop it now. Just please drop it.
And Drew's like, give me something to write with. How many doubles is that?
Just, yeah. And Drew's like, hey, yeah, how many doubles? And I'm like, it's this thing's going to be gone in 8 months. It's horrible. It's embarrassing. It's never going to catch on. It's never going to work. No one's ever going to say it. Just drop it now. And they're like, just learn. It's the dubba 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 WB. And I was like, why? No one's ever going to use this. It's a please pull the plug on it now. Don't get going with it. Why are we spending the effort on it?
I'm
going
to save you millions of dollars.
They go, no, no, no. Because their thing is like, they basically have the same approach with this campaign WWWB does that we have with our low speed train to nowhere, which is like we're already $18 billion dollars into this.
Yeah. The sunk cost fallacy.
The only way out is through.
And I've you're spent like, so much money.
I know. Admit you made a mistake and put it into the fucking schools or the airport or the overpasses or in the graffiti or trash removal, like anything. And like we're already way down the road on this horrible idea. We can't turn back now.
We've already spent X. We have to see it all the way through. Like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
There was a great episode of Freakonomics podcast called The Upside of Quitting, which is know when to cut your losses. Like, you can be three quarters down the road. If it's not working, abandon it and save yourself the time and money.
Dawson auditioned for these spots.
The voiceover. Yeah, right at the beginning of the campaign. Oh. And it stated in the copy exactly what Chris said. That these are two people. It was like these two people are almost identical.
Almost.
Imagine
one slightly hotter. I've said a million times, when you are writing a joke, when you're coming up with a concept for a commercial, when you're starting an outdoor campaign, and you're designing a poster for a scary movie, or whatever you're doing, whether it's a late night monologue, or it's an outdoor poster campaign, or it's a logo, or it's a television commercial. You can be anything but confusing.
Yep. Right.
Anything. You can go, joke's a four, didn't really land, or I knew, or I've seen it before, right. It was a little redundant.
I get what you're going for.
Or not very creative font on that poster, whatever it is, but you can't be confusing. Confusing, that is a swing and a miss. A joke that doesn't really land, that's just a single. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not all home runs, but confusing is the one thing you can't be. I mean, I'd like to talk to Christy about commercial grade, about confusing. I feel like I've seen so many commercials where I've been confused by them, and that is mission not accomplished.
I'll put this on our list.
And that's the thing. Speaking of Christy, isn't the whole point of focus grouping not to say, did you like it, did you not like it, did you understand it? That's the whole
point.
That's a good point. All right, we'll take a quickie break. Mm-hmm. We'll come back, and I got some more complaining to do right after this.
Now, Sonny Corolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Don't worry, this will backfire too. The loony hashtag left has only one skill set left, shooting itself in the foot.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That's my boy.
Is Lynette going to let him record the one where James Woods calls somebody a cockholster?
Oh, that was a good one. I woke up to one this morning. James Woods is old school enough to do like, I was working as a bouncer at the whorehouse. Your mom worked out like a lot of your mom.
Yes.
I miss your mom
it's
jokes.
Good. It's good.
Yeah, I woke up to one this morning. I don't know how Twitter works. All I know is I do know what James Woods and Patton Oswalt are up to on an almost daily basis, and I have no idea why.
It's not similar.
Consciousness.
They're just
there.
They're
doing the opposite
thing.
They're
there every morning when I turn on, and I look at their tweets, but I never favored them or follow them or anything. They're just there.
It's some algorithm that's above our pay grade.
I guess so. It's I oftentimes think, am I following Patton or am I following James? But if not, why are they always there?
The people you follow are retweeting them.
It's just if they like them or retweet them, they show up on
your feed. They're just sending me their stuff? All right. what does Jim Earl say to him?
Jim Earl says, your syphilitic brain is working overtime as well. Get any new representation? And James Wood says, yeah, your mom got me a doorman job at her whorehouse.
Good. I like that.
Hashtag like Instablock.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Hey, we should do some of these where Dawson should just play the John Doe. You know what I mean? And then Sonny replies. Pull that one aside. And, you know, like when Lynette's here, someone distract her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just get her out of the room.
I like it.
Let Sonny do his magic. That's going to make me laugh. All right. I had a funny conversation. So, I guess Bill Maher had Barbara Streisand on. I wasn't able to watch it, but I was told about it. She's got a new music video, and the new music video is a lot of doom and gloom, and I'll play about 20 seconds of it.
Yes. Isn't she in a well or something?
The whole country's in a well, according to the video. I will play a few 20 seconds of it from Bill Maher, but you can hear the song, and it's her new song. And it's is this called How Do You Sleep? Yeah. All right, so she plays. It's a lot of it's bummer and extra bummer stuff. You can go ahead and play it when you got it. A lot of barbed wire and folks at the border and world coming undone and a lot of flooding and Lincoln Monument turned upside down with the Confederate flag and American flags burning and money's changing hands and polar bears are emaciated. There's poison everywhere. All right, you can stop it for a second. The reason I'm thinking about this, all these crosses on the border fence or what border fence there is. So I had this funny thing. It speaks to me because I grew up amongst this. All the stuff we're kind of talking about now, we were talking about in the late 60s and early 70s. Different players, different things, but lots of pollution and lots of stuff. And if you lived... Picture Barbara Streisand. I'll tell you Chris Carolla. I'll tell you my mom. Take Barbara Streisand, strip away all the cash, add on about 50 pounds, and park her fat ass in a decrepit, dilapidated house in North Hollywood. It was like Barbara Streisand minus the Malibu.
Oh, God.
Part. So I just had to sit there.
Still the voice of an angel?
And listen to my mom tell me about what food coloring was doing to everyone and how microwave ovens were poisoning everyone.
White
and
sugar.
All the stuff. And I started thinking about the song from Billy Jack, which was really her theme, which you can play. I know you can show the Indian crying on the river thing. And so I had this conversation. I had a visit with my mom on Saturday, and I had this visit. But you can play the Indian crying thing. It's poor Indian is standing there.
Stop pollution. People can stop it.
Iconic.
The crying Indian. But I remember this is from like 1971. So I was talking to my mom, who's well into her 80s now, and we're talking. She was asking me about my nephew, how he's doing at the other shop. I had this.
We haven't gotten a Finn update lately.
It's always funny when you. Dude, I said to Nate, I said, how's Finn doing with his attendance? Is he had him at about 50% attendance here last time when he came to work for us. How's he doing now? And he said, well, I'd ask him, but he's not here today.
Oh.
I said, is he supposed to be here today? Yeah. All right, so not. I guess that's. I guess you've answered my question. Like, not good.
Less than 100.
Not here the day that I'm asking, and he's like, yeah, I just missed 2 days this week. And he only works 3 days a week.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
Jeez.
I said, what's the problem? He's like, scratchy throat. Mm. I've realized that texting has made it. It is a gateway drug to truancy.
Yeah,
like.
You don't have to do the dirty work.
The difference between me staying home. Mm. Yeah. The difference between me missing work or staying home was having to talk to a human being.
Yep. Explain.
And just go, yep. I don't, whatever. Yeah. And then they got to go, well, wait a minute. What are you, blah, blah, blah. And this thing of just, I'm sending a text. I'll do it at midnight, the night before. I'll send an email at 2 a.m. going, I don't feel well. And then you just sleep in.
That's
right?
That.
Whatever it is. It's making it too easy not to show up. So, I was talking to my mom about it, and I said, yeah, well, you know, the young kids these days, they don't have as much, giddy up as we did. I always bring up when I met Jimmy Kimmel, he was 26 years old and he was getting to the radio station at 4 a.m. He was cutting other people's bits together. He was producing the Christmas album every year. He was staying late. Like he was doing everything. And
hours.
I don't think the young set rolls that way anymore, mm-hmm. Mom. And she said, well, And then she started thinking about it. Like, I don't get it. You want a house. You want success. You want things. You know, like, sure. Why? That's your path.
Wow. When Chris Carroll is questioning your work ethic and your commitment to yes. putting in the hours, it's a time for a long yes. look in the mirror.
She was sitting on a wheel of government cheese that she rides in. She doesn't use a wheelchair. She has two big wheels of government cheese.
It is, I guess, a wheelchair. De facto.
Right. It's a chair that's a wheel of government cheese she's carved out for her lazy ass. And so she was like going, yeah, what's up? And I said, I don't know. Everyone's got air conditioning and a big TV and they just don't care. And there's probably a little reefer involved and whatever. And she said, well, could it be that basically the world's going to end? It's going to end.
Like,
could it be
nihilistic?
She's gone. Yeah, she's gone the Babs route.
Sure.
Could it be that Trump is going to get us all incinerated by North Korea and nobody's trying anymore?
Why show up to sleep?
Why bother?
Why try? And I said, well, yeah, but you know, I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis when they were bringing. You know, they're putting them, 70 miles off the shore of Florida and pointing. And I think the young people still went to work. Mm-hmm. Like we've had other instances, cold wars and nukes mm-hmm. and things. And young 19, 20 year old boys still got up and went to work. So
it sort of begat like punk rock, like nihilism, the world's going to end anyway. So rock and roll. But
it's
like
a sweet
that was,
excuse.
That was a movement. And that wasn't.
But I also realized that my mom has been living in a world where we were going to be destroyed mm-hmm. by some superpower, or that the environment was going to force us all to all live underground or whatever it is. She's been living in that world for 50 or 60 years. It's never happened.
A hardcore why bother mentality.
But it's always a doom and gloom. Yeah. And it's and again, you think Barbara Streisand cooked this thing up in late 2018. My mom was rolling hard on this in the 60s, in the early 70s. She's blinked her eyes. She's become an old woman, and she's still kind of sticking to the script.
Wow. Credit where credit is due.
The chickens are finally coming home to roost after all these decades.
I know she has grandkids, but at this point, my mom has to be rooting for a good nuke meltdown just to be right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're like the guy who spent 60 years stockpiling flash frozen food in a bomb shelter and training and getting prepping. His family, like yelling with a stopwatch or something. Like, you know, like, now he's on his deathbed and it never happened. Like,
come
there's got to be a little part of him
he just
that
wants
goes
the
like,
riskies to make landfall.
I just want to see a mushroom cloud before I die. Yeah. Like, otherwise, I've spent my entire adult life wringing my hands over this fucking thing that's never happened.
Yep.
All right, so. We've learned that my mom's rooting for a nuclear war at this point.
I already know the answer to this, but I got to ask. I know how your mom treats you. Mm-hmm. It's clear. Mm-hmm. We get it. But sometimes it does skip a generation and they're super doting on the grandchildren. I feel like you would have brought it up by now, but she has so many grandchildren, it sounds like. Does anyone ever get the, like, the as we say in Yiddish, the chuchkying, the, oh, aren't you so sweet? And, oh, I brought this specifically for you, Natalia. What's she like with the kids that are your kids?
She tolerates them fine. Oh, all right, like, tore page out of Brian's grandma's book.
That's right. Constant correcting.
No, she's fine. She's
post-its
nice.
Post-its say don't
she's,
touch.
She doesn't do things for people, but she's, like, friendly about it. The part that I always find... the most amazing about my mom is, as previously stated, if you bring up anyone who's successful or your success or your connection with success, she always just shoots it down and sort of moves
right
on. She moves right past it. And at this time, I found myself not intentionally bringing up Jimmy Kimmel to bring up Jimmy Kimmel. I was simply saying, these guys want to work in an entertainment world. When I met Jimmy, he was young and he was hungry and he was this and he was that. And I kept saying, you know, Jimmy would do this. And then Jimmy never talked about money. And then Jimmy would always be the first guy at the radio station and the last guy. And she never goes like, hey, how's his kids? Or like, what's is he going to do the Oscars again? Or like nothing. It's the weirdest thing in the world because it's the opposite of what anyone else would do if your old buddy became king of the world. It'd be nothing but, question. How's Jimmy? Tell him I said hi. You know, blah, blah.
What's he really like?
Blah, blah, blah. It's such a weird low self-esteem that now poor Jimmy Kimmel can't be recognized.
He's been excommunicated.
He has. I had this thing where I talked to my dad and my mom on the same day.
Oh,
one,
no.
Two, punch of parents. And I had to say to my dad, I said, you know, Dad, you did kind of draw a short straw in this department. Jimmy's family is exceedingly close. And Jimmy's mom basically goes, you're my son. I think of you as my son. And she hugs me and she kisses me and Jim and Joan and whatever. I have been to 1,000 Easters with Jim and Joan Kimmel. I've been to Father's Day events. I've been to Jimmy's birthdays. I've been to Christmas, a pre-Christmas dinner, Christmas Eve dinner. I have been to a San Gennaro feast. I've been to Man Show tapings. I've been to 1,000 events with Jimmy Kimmel's parents. And I was saying to my dad, it'd be much better for you if they were like divorced and his dad was on the East Coast and he was in and out of rehab. They're there and it just makes you look that much worse. Because you have never met Jimmy Kimmel's parents. Oh, my parents have never met Jimmy Kimmel's parents.
You met your wedding?
Not because they're ships in the night. This is a good point. Which could be possible. I would have to check it out, but that doesn't count
because
that's
far away. The bank
that's happenstance. That is them at. They have to go to their kid's wedding, and then there's Jimmy Kimmel's parents. But they've never been at any outside source or ever seen anywhere. And I said, Dad, that's bad for you because it makes you look that much worse.
It'd
be nice if my partner's parents were a little distance,
more
distance,
a little less present.
You're more of an Adam Kimola at this point. Not really full Carolla anymore.
But they are the best.
Kimolo.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Thank you. Like Ralph, my uncle.
We can go back.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge, and then we'll bring in Finesse. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver levels of performance from your car, maximum levels from your car. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Pop the, I wouldn't call it a cork, but you unscrew the lid on your crankcase and dump in a little Castrol Edge. It's titanium technology, and it is the best. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine, and do it today with Castrol Edge. All right, let's see. Anaheim Grove with Rob Riggle up, all of us up on stage doing a live podcast November 30th in Anaheim. You can also check out Adam Carolla Goes Racing. My mom did one of those things I always hate. Do you guys hate the downgrade?
She's famous for it.
Down rendering.
My mom was complaining. She's like, she was pissed at me because I hadn't seen her in like 3 months, and she said, "I hadn't seen you since you were leaving, going to Europe for that car show." And I said, "I went to Europe to do a car race," and she's like, "Okay." Like, all right.
To her, it's the same thing.
No follow-up questions, I guess. You know, because you just go to Europe and do
car things.
Yeah. So, it's weird little things. Like, they're all, like,
it's a microaggression.
Going to a car show in Europe is cool, but doing,
participating in a car race
in Europe is much cooler than going to a car show.
You know, we did the master class in podcasting. It was a lot of fun. People downloaded and, you know, learned how to, you know, do podcasts. Your mom should do one in down rounding.
Yes.
Masterclass in downranding. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Chris Carolla.
Minor class.
You might think you know about downranding.
It'd be great.
But trust me, you don't. You see?
The guy booked the room, you know, just before she went on, she'd take a peek through the curtain and look out there, and then she'd turn around and go, "There must be 25 people out there," and they'd go, "We have 150 paid." Yeah. Oh, okay, so more like 30?
Yeah, so closer to, yeah. I mean, I see 50 faces.
So you can go to Adam Carolla Goes Racing and see season one over there at Vero and sign up and get Vero. It's is it .vero.co?
Get.vero.co/ace.
Oh, sorry. I screwed that up. Thank you very much.
Get.vero.co/ace.
And watch all that.
It's an unusual website.
Watch the car shows for free. If I'm driving the car in the car show. Finesse Mitchell is coming in. We'll take a quickie break. We'll come back with Finesse right after this.